So our readings today are quite difficult, huh? I promise you, I did not choose them. This is the lectionary schedule, and we certainly don't shy away from any scriptures, especially the ones that are difficult. So I begin with a question this morning for you to ponder. How often do you think about eternity? How often do you think about eternity? Sometimes, yeah, it could be often. How often do we consider time as it stands outside of time as we know it? Surely such thoughts are confounding and quite difficult to comprehend. As we learned last week, one of the things that we talked about last week was that faith comes first, right? Faith comes first. Faith comes before understanding as well. Thus, the necessity is for faith before we can even begin to wrap our minds around thoughts of eternity. The topic has indeed confused and perplexed people since the beginning. And we know, and we have hope, because we are Christians 2,000 years on this side of the cross. We know that hope springs eternal through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that we will not simply be disembodied souls walking around, but raised. Our bodies will be raised as His body is in the glory of eternity. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And Lord, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear, though understanding comes, as we know, with faith. Lord, we pray these things to the great glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over 100 years ago, that famed writer, philosopher, historian, existentialist, Leo Tolstoy wrote, "There are two inevitable conditions of life confronting all of us which destroy its meaning. One, death, which may at any moment pounce upon each of us. And two, the transitoriness of all our works, which so soon pass away and leave no trace. Whatever we may do, found companies, build palaces and monuments, write songs and poems, it is all not for a long time." Those words are not very encouraging. Not very encouraging, are they, when thinking about the thought of eternity, our short life on earth, and then the extension of eternity. Though we also see similar things in Scripture, don't we? The book of Ecclesiastes, for example, paints a very similar picture to this. King Solomon writes, "Vanity of vanity," to begin the book. "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun." What then? What then is the meaning of it all? Tolstoy questions the meaning of life. Solomon questions the meaning of life. What then do we do with this journey that we are on, this journey called life? In the thoughts of eternal life. Thoughts of eternity have burned hot in the hearts and minds of humanity over the generations. Some have pondered the idea of eternity with sorrow or worry. Others, though, with words of wisdom and hope. Again, we go to Scripture and look at the words of the prophet Isaiah when he wrote, "But your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. You will dwell in the dust. Wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Life after life, life after death. Even philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said, "It is perfectly true, as philosophers say, that life must be understood backwards." But they forget the other proposition, that it must be lived forwards. I'm sure beyond a doubt that most of us here today have had long and deep thoughts about eternity at some point in some way. So we look at the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel in the Old Testament. What many of us probably know about Daniel is the amount of great Bible stories that are in it. There is an incredible amount of really good Bible stories in Daniel. The fiery furnace, Daniel in the lion's den, the writing on the walls, the refusal to bow before other gods. Lots of really, really good Bible stories in these 12 verses. Well, in the first 9 verses. The first 9 chapters, excuse me. Once we get to chapters 10 through 12, we're on quite the ride. It is at best, difficult to understand. So Daniel was always a prophet to the Lord. In these last couple of chapters of the book of Daniel, the Lord is revealing some pretty serious, kind of strange, and sometimes terrifying things to Daniel. There are a lot of really difficult things to understand in many parts of the Bible. I would say that these 2 chapters, 3 chapters of Daniel, rank right up there at the top. So let's try to see what the Lord's saying. Let's try to see what the Lord is saying through the little bit that we read in Daniel chapter 12. So at this point in Daniel's life and his calling as a prophet, he has been through the ringer. He has been through it all. Exiled, betrayed, arrested, sentenced to death. Daniel had it pretty rough, but he never lost faith. Did he? He never lost faith. He never lost hope, despite all of the real and existential threats that he faced. Now we look at chapter 9. Chapter 9, Daniel was visited by the archangel Gabriel. He was visited by Gabriel, who delivered him some good news in the midst of all of these crazy and terrible things that had happened to him. Gabriel tells Daniel that at the very beginning of Daniel's pleas, at the very beginning of Daniel's cries for mercy, his cries out to God for mercy, at the very beginning of them, they were heard. They were heard, and a word went out to the heavens. A word went out that all of God's servants knew then that Daniel was in need, a sort of an all-points bulletin in the heavenly realm, if you will. So Gabriel comes to Daniel, and he tells him that he is greatly loved. He tells him that he is heard and that he is greatly loved. He didn't tell Daniel that everything was going to be okay. He didn't tell Daniel that pain and suffering and trials would end. He didn't tell Daniel that things were going to get easier. He told Daniel that the Lord has heard your prayer, and that we, the angel armies, have heard as well. We know your cries. We know you are in need for mercy. We hear you, Daniel, and you are loved. Daniel knew this as a message of hope. And he was able to endure because of this message of hope. He was able to endure even through what he was about to hear the rest of the book of Daniel, because it's going to get pretty difficult. So another messenger comes to Daniel. This time, this messenger, this unnamed messenger, he gives Daniel these visions. Visions that are quite bizarre, the visions of a series of conflicts, of battles, of wars that are going to be leading up to the end of times. The end of times, when Israel will finally be vindicated, that the dead will be raised, that eternity on earth will begin, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be very, very difficult. It's going to be long. It's going to be excruciating, but this time is coming. Messenger then also tells Daniel that he's going to be visited by another archangel, in fact, Michael. Michael the archangel is going to come. Again, he's already visited Daniel once. He's going to come and visit him again. And at this visit of Michael the archangel, the times would become even more desolate. And finally, this unnamed messenger tells Daniel to take these words, take the words that you've heard, seal them up, fold them up, and just tuck them away in your pocket. Keep them. Remember these words that you have been said until that time of the end comes. Well, Daniel, like anyone else would be, is incredibly confused. What is going on here? So two questions come up in this. Questions that certainly we have asked when considering eternity. One, how long until this happens? When is it going to take place? How long until this happens? And two, he asks, what exactly is going to happen? Again, I think questions that we ask as well. So, how long until it happens? How about that bizarre answer? How long until it happens? A time, times, and half a time. What does that mean? A time, times, and half a time. What does that mean? I don't know. Daniel didn't know. We don't know. We could wonder and debate for thousands of years. We have wondered and debated for thousands of years on what that means. Time, times, and half a time. Truthfully, no one knows. We don't have to be able to explain everything scientifically, do we? Faith comes before understanding. We don't know. Some people may speculate and think they've got it figured out. No one knows. No one knows. It's impossible for us to know the full reality of things that happen outside of time as we know it. But what we can know, what we can take comfort in, is what Jesus tells us about when these end of times will occur. In Mark 13, just after what I read just a few minutes ago, Jesus says, concerning that day or that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Then he also tells the disciples at his ascension, before he went back into heaven, he says, it's not for you to know the seasons, the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed on his own authority. No one knows, and it's not for us to know. So we don't know how long, but we can be ready. That's what he tells us. He tells us to be ready. And also, just the fact that both of the chief archangels have come to visit Daniel very recently, in this right before he hears all this, Gabriel and Michael, they have both come to visit him. They don't know when it's going to end. They don't know when it's going to end either. The fact that these two archangels come to visit Daniel in this time does let us in on a little bit of stuff that that sort of proves to us that we cannot understand when this is going to happen, because the fact that these two archangels visit Daniel proves to us that there is a spiritual battle that is taking place that we cannot possibly understand or even know what's going on. There is a spiritual battle that we cannot see that is happening all around us in the heavenly realms. And even the ones who are fighting in it, Michael and Gabriel and the angel armies, even they don't know when it's going to end. Again, like I said, Daniel doesn't even know. Daniel's response to this, I heard, but I did not understand. Me too, Daniel. But we can take heart that if the prophet who saw this vision does not understand, it's okay if we don't either. Faith comes before understanding. Then Daniel asked the question, the second question of the two, what shall the outcome of these things be? What's going to happen? What's going to happen at this end of times? Again, a question that I think many of us have asked. But do we understand the answer? Daniel actually, I think, understood this answer. Daniel was told, go on with your life. Go on with your life. Go your way, Daniel. Go on with your life. You already have the words that have been sealed up. I told you to put them there in your pocket and don't bring them out until that time comes. Take this knowledge, take this information with you. We have the same words. Take this with you. Go on with your regular everyday life. Know, though, that there is a spiritual battle. A spiritual battle taking place that you cannot possibly understand, and the Lord has already decided the outcome, and we know that to be true because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it will be up to Him when it does end, and when heaven meets earth in the glory of eternity. So how often do you think about eternity? How often do you try to figure out eternity? Maybe you've spent hours or days or weeks or months trying to sort out and pinpoint an exact answer to those two questions that Daniel had. How and what? How often do we think about eternity? I choose to think that the best thing that we can think about eternity is that believers, repentant believers in Jesus Christ, will live in the perfection of eternity with fully resurrected bodies in the presence of the one who defeated sin and death through his own bodily resurrection, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes a lot about this in 1 Corinthians 15. So if you want to go see something about this, go read 1 Corinthians 15. But in verse 20, he writes this. He says, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death," referring to Adam, "for as by a man came death, by a man has also come resurrection from the dead," referring to Jesus Christ, the perfect Adam. Jesus is the first fruits for us. In the Old Testament, first fruits, in all of life, but in the Old Testament, writes about first fruits being the best fruits of the season. And they would allow the planter, the farmer, to be able to know what to expect for the rest of the season's harvest. And they were given to the glory of God as sacrificial giving as well. Jesus offered himself as the perfection of our first offerings, for us and for and on our behalf, that we will be good fruit in the harvest to come. Jesus is the first fruits for us. Friends, eternity is full of first fruits, with Jesus Christ himself being the first of all. So in Scripture, we read things that are difficult to understand, even for prophets like Daniel. We do well to always remember that faith comes before understanding. And thanks be to God that we get the great benefit of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us to alleviate our sin sickness, to bring us into his glorious inheritance, heaven and earth together in eternity. So, we do like Daniel did. We do like Daniel did. We go on our way. We go on our day in our normal, everyday, daily lives, being able to endure through the pain and suffering, being able to endure through the difficult times, because we know the words that the Lord has given to us in Scripture, that they have been sealed up and given to us, that we may take them with us wherever we may go. May our lives benefit from the Spirit of God, and may our minds be enriched with the faithful understanding that I might not always understand Scripture, but the Lord is faithful, and Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead. Amen. Thank you.
Lord is our hope in life and death. Christ alone, Christ alone. Lord is our only confidence, that our souls to Him belong. Who holds our days within His hand? What comes apart from His command? And what will keep us to the end? The love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sings the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess, Christ, our hope in life and death. Unto the grave, what shall we sing? Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy, for Christ is ours forevermore. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and death. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now and confess, Christ our hope in life and death. Now and ever we confess, Christ our hope in life and